First scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. A vision of God in the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." And the New Testament is from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Jesus heals the Gerasene demoniac, which I would assume means... Oops, I'm sorry. I have Mark.
I could preach on that too.
Okay, sorry about that. I guess I need to be more careful when I'm reading. Jesus calls the first disciples. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. No, this is actually similar to what's in Mark. Because I reread the Mark thing and it was the same thing. He got into one of the boats, and the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him.
Thank you, Peter, for reading the scripture of your namesake, St. Peter, reading about St. Peter. On the 8th of November, 1952, Albert Luthuli, whose biography I wrote, preached a sermon at Adams College in South Africa that had as its title the same as this morning's message: a Christian life, a constant adventure. So that's not my sermon title. That is Albert Luthuli's. And Luthuli preached on the same scripture that Peter read for us this morning. The story of the disciples fishing and Peter putting the boat, quote, out into the deep water, unquote. In Albert Luthuli's 1952 sermon, he highlighted the fact that the disciples had worked all night on that boat and had not caught any fish. Now, I have never really been fishing properly, let alone have I fished all night on a boat. I don't know what I would do all night on a boat. I don't know what the disciples did. Perhaps they told jokes during their idle time. I can just see Peter perhaps talking to Philip and asking, what kind of music should we sing while we're fishing? Philip said, "Beats me." And then Peter said, "Well, how about something catchy?" Yes, the disciples told very bad jokes. But perhaps they told biblical jokes, a way to memorize the scriptures. Peter asked Philip, "Why didn't Noah do much fishing on the ark?" Philip said, "Search me, why?" Peter responded, "Well, he only had two worms." Okay, all right. Maybe they tried three jokes and the third one was really funny. Peter asked Philip, "Why is it so easy to weigh fish?" Remember, next in the story, they're going to be pulling them up so that the nets break. Philip says, "I don't know. Why is it so easy to weigh fish?" And Peter said, "Well, because they have their own scales." All right. I think the disciples were just as bored telling jokes to one another, perhaps, as they were fishing and not catching a thing. But nonetheless, Jesus responded to the disciples, and Jesus asks them to drop their nets again. And Peter exclaimed in exasperation that the additional effort is most likely a complete waste of time. Peter says, "But if you say so, I will let down the nets." I wonder how many of you have ever heard the phrase, "Been there and done that." That was what Peter said when Jesus asked him to cast his net again. Peter says, "We have been there, we have done that, and we have absolutely nothing to show for it. But because you, Jesus, are asking, we will continue to do what we believe has thus been and will likely continue to be futile." Well, we read, the nets are cast again and the results were radically different. Friends, while Peter was reading, I reached around him and I got a copy of our annual finance meeting report. If you look at the front of this report, it says that this afternoon, we are holding our 203rd annual congregational finance budget meeting. 203rd. That's incredible. While I can't personally say, been there, done that, as this will be my first finance meeting, many of you can say that you have been here before and that you have done this before. Although, as far as I can tell, none of you have done it 203 times. Most of you, like the disciples, have been working, as the scriptures state, hard, all night, on this boat that we call, I don't know, that I call the USS Center Congregational Church. Many of you, like St. Peter and the other disciples, are likely tired. You have done much work all night long. Some are perhaps even burnt out. Some perhaps are thinking that your efforts are futile. Over the years, not only have we not added numbers to our net, we have lost those that we have. Like our beloved Dot Atomic. Yet as we lost one whose spirit will be with us always, we will next week welcome into our fellowship many more. I have been meeting with Shiva and Janushka, with Gina and with Bonnie, and with Olivia. So we have much reason to be positive and not resigned. In our scripture, the boat from which Jesus preached to the people was anchored, quote, a little from shore. That means that it was in shallow water. And Jesus asked Peter to put his net in the water after asking him to put the boat out into deep water. Now you have to remember, in the ancient mind, in the first century, that the sea was an abyss. It was a symbol of darkness. It was a place of almost primordial chaos. The creatures of evil and death lurked within its depths. So Jesus' instruction for Peter and the disciples to put into the deep water was a call not only to continue to do that which was done to no avail, but it was a call to do so despite the danger and the vulnerability. What Jesus requested the disciples to do required great faith to overcome doubts about both utility and failure. Friends, as we consider the finances of our church, we also consider the future of our church. And if we consider the church a boat, and our own Bruce, our administrator who is an architect, will tell you that the design of churches are often made symbolically to represent a boat. And we are in that boat, that sanctuary, in the midst of a turbulent and dangerous sea. If we consider this church a boat, the design and the engineering of the boat is from God, our Creator. And you my brothers and sisters, you are the engine of our church. And our love for God and for one another is the fuel for our church. And I'm sort of thinking that the finances here, well, this is like a drivetrain. Finances are that which cause and convert the love of God that powers the engine. It converts it into the force that drives the propellers and the boat forward into deep water. Friends, at this finance meeting, we will be putting out into the deep. We are a church in a secular culture and in a secular state. We are few in number, but I am seeing we are growing. Our finances are tight. Our boat may even be leaking. And here, Anne, I'm talking about the endowment. Yet we are called by Jesus Christ to cast our net into the deep water, though we are tired and though we may see our efforts as futile. Indeed, I think, though, one can say that our nets are already beginning to burst. The number of children at the Brattleboro Center for Children is increasing. The number of homeless coming to Loaves and Fishes to eat is increasing. Our membership after next week will also be seen to be increasing. Perhaps after hearing from Jennifer and Roger about the Vermont Conference's Vitality Workshop they attended yesterday in Springfield, we will learn more about nets that we can cast into the water. So friends in faith, let us go into this finance committee meeting in courage and in faith. Let us go out into the deep. Let us cast our nets out again. Though we are tired, I am sure I have the confidence that the results in the future will be much different than the results in our recent past. This is the word of God, and it was preached to the people of God, and the people of God responded. Amen.